Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Lord, we ask you to lead us and guide us in this study today and what you're showing us prophetically concerning obeying and loving or being separated. And we ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Well, as you heard, we're going to continue part three, obey and love or be separated. And we're going to start with a revelation, a really good revelation given to Isaac Payne on 2/19/22, which we called Wolves Come to Devour the Sheep. So, in this dream, it was night and I was standing on a hill. And all around me were rolling hills with grass fields and no trees. And behind me was an ascending rock cliff. There was a particular hill maybe 100 to 200 yards ahead of me that I was focused on in the dream. The hills were good grazing for livestock. Well, I believe that this hill represents Zion. And the rock cliff behind Isaac is the cleft of the rock, Jesus, the rock of our salvation, who stands behind us. It is the rock that the first fruits are hidden in during the tribulation. Micah 4:6-13 says, "In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble that which is lame, I will gather that which is driven away, and that which I have afflicted, and I will make that which was lame a remnant, and that which was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion." And we know Mount Zion to be the bride, in whom, of course, is also the man-child head. David was the head of the bride. He was in Jerusalem. He was a part of the bride, right? So from henceforth, even forever, he says. So he's going to rule through this bride and man-child forever. "And thou, O tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Yea, the former dominion shall come." That was the dominion of David, right? Because Jesus sat upon the throne of David, right? "The kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out loud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished, that pangs have taken hold of thee as of a woman in travail?" And we know that the Zion bride is in travail with this man-child ministry. "Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and shalt dwell in the field, and shalt come even unto Babylon. There shalt thou be rescued." Well, the first fruits, of course, to come out of Babylon represent the bride and man-child ministries. "There will the Lord redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. And now many nations are assembled against thee." Well, the nations, of course, represent the beast, which includes the faction against the saints, that say, "Let her be defiled," or let our eye see our desire upon Zion. "But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he hath gathered them as the sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many peoples, and I will devote their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth." That's happening, by the way, the deep state's gain and theft is being plundered through the prayers and of the saints of God and Jesus' name. "In my right hand," he said, "was a high-powered flashlight. and in my left hand was a rifle. We must stay at rest in the light and truth of God's word and his promises. The rifle in Isaac's left hand represents our own works to try to save ourselves or others from the enemies. He said, I had the flashlight focused on illuminating a flock of sheep grazing in the rolling hill that was 100 to 200 yards ahead of me. They were safely eating in the field while the light remained on them. Okay, so there is safety for the people of God when they abide in the light of God's word. And many shepherds today aren't providing them this light of truth so that the sheep can feed safely and grow in the knowledge of the word and in truth. And Isaac said, but suddenly the light would shut off by itself. And as this happened, wolves would run up the backside of the hill, approaching from the left, and then attack the sheep and kill one each time and carry it off. Well, we've seen this happen. The backside of the hill was not viewable from my vantage point, he said. The light turning off by itself represents that the Lord is culling the sheep who are not consistent to stay in the light of the word and who lose sight of the promises, which is what the light is, right? Which will allow the enemies to come and attack and devour them. So then he said, my flashlight would come on again automatically and the wolves would scurry off and flee away from the sheep, running towards the left to get to the back side of the hill and descend down into hiding. Well, we know that the factious wolves are like roaches. They scatter when the light of the truth of God's word is shown on the situation. And he went on to say, as the flashlight stayed on, the sheep were free to graze in the field with no harm and no predators preying upon them. After a while, the flashlight automatically turned off again, and the wolves climbed back up to the back side of the hill, approaching from the left, approaching in darkness, is what they do, and began to devour the sheep, carrying them off and dragging the carcass down the back side of the hill to what I can only assume was their den for feasting. Yeah. I briefly saw the limbs torn off of a sheep, and I believe this represents the wolves dismembering these members of the body and preventing the sheep from walking uprightly. Yep, that's what they do. I grabbed the rifle in my left hand to shoot the wolves, but there wasn't any visibility for me to look through the scope to get the wolves in the crosshairs. Again, the flashlight automatically turned on, and the wolves scattered towards the left, as they do, and ran downward on the back of the hill. I tried looking through the scope of the rifle with my left hand and holding the light with the right as it was illuminated, but it was not possible to properly aim the gun and use the high-powered flashlight approximately at the same time. The only solution was to keep the light on the sheep always and approach the sheep, staying near to them. Well, we can't use the methods of man and the methods of God at the same time. This is ineffective in the kingdom. And we certainly need the methods of God to to solve this problem, obviously. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh the flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. Well, God ordains that the wolves are there to cull the flock as he sees fit. They're not vessels of honor, they're vessels of dishonor, but as you know, God uses both vessels in his sovereignty. And after the flock is purified, then it's time to kill the wolves, which Jesus does in the man-child when he comes, okay? Yep, the blood-stained garments of Jesus, right? Coming from the Edomite or the faction sheepfold. So at this point, I was in an armored jeep and came near to the field that the sheep were in with the flashlight illuminated on the sheep continually. And then I woke up. So we know that when the flock is walking consistently in the light and the flock is culled from the spots and blemishes, then the wolves' work is over. So walking in the light is our safety, right? And of course, the wolves are there to destroy anyone that is not holding fast to the word, okay? That's why we give so many warnings to people to keep them from this happening. So here's another one given to Brandy Arney on 10/23/21. We called it "The Wicked Hinder the Gospel." Mm-hmm. I dreamed David and I were walking along the outside of a modern stadium that circled a large stadium venue. The building's architecture was similar to the new mega sports stadiums of today and very large. The sidewalk was wide and clean, and there were other people and families going towards the stadium on the walkway in the same direction as we were. Well, I believe that this stadium represents what we loosely call the church in these days, and the sidewalk is wide because the apostate church leadership has made it easy to enter into what they call Christianity with their greasy grace doctrines. And we as true believers and disciples of Christ have been sent among them to call them out from apostasy. And we are in the world, but not of it, as Jesus said in John 17, 13 through 19. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, that's the light. And the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them from the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. It is the light, too. And as thou didst send me into the world, even so sent I them into the world. And as for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. If you don't have sanctification, you can't pass it on, right? So he went on to say that David was wearing a sapphire blue button-up shirt, and I was wearing a sky blue shirt in a similar style. I believe David here represents the man-child ministers, and Brandy is representing those disciples that follow closely in their footsteps. Sapphire is one of the 12 foundational stones that the heavenly city of Zion is built upon. The sapphire-colored shirt represents being clothed with Christ, who is the foundation of Zion. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 13 says, "According to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let each man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if any man buildeth on the foundation gold and silver and costly stones and wood and hay and stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. Amen. And we'll come back to this fire. It's very important, and we'll come back to it later. And also Revelation 21:19 through 20. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire. There's that sapphire again. And Isaiah 54:11, O thou afflicted and tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will set thy stones in fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Mm-hmm. So, Brandy being dressed in a similar style shirt that was sky blue represents all those who are disciples, meaning learners and followers of Christ, who abide with him in heavenly places and do his works. Heavenly places. That's that blue, right? Sky blue. And Brandy went on to say, as we were walking, I heard a man speaking behind us to his little boy, who looked to be around 5 years old, saying, cast not away therefore your boldness, unquote. The man was coaching his son to help him recite or remember the verse from Hebrews 10:35. Well, this man and his son, I believe, represent everyone who is bearing the fruit of Christ by meditating on the Word and holding fast to the promises of God through his gift of grace, through faith, represented by the number 5. 5 years old, right? Hebrews 10:32-39, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly being made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly becoming partakers with them that were so used. Well, so you can look out there at the people being afflicted and the people used to bring the affliction, and you can know who's who, right? For you both had compassion on them and were in bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions, because these people are thieves, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Cast not away therefore your boldness, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a very little while, he that cometh shall come, and shall not tarry. Well, we know that Christ is coming in his people. And by the time that happens, you won't have to worry about these other people, because they are like the wolves. You know, they will be taken care of after they have been used to call the flock and persecute the saints on their crosses, right? But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, in other words, back into the works of man that we've talked about, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. Remember, if you do shrink back, it will be to destruction. All right? I slowed my pace, and I turned to the little boy and slowly recited the words to him. Quote, cast not away therefore your boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. Unquote. The boy's father seemed receptive to me, talking to his son. And the boy, after stammering a little, recited the verse accurately, and I turned again to catch up with David. Well, the first fruits disciples of Christ who have come to maturity will be able to help many more come into the mature image of Christ. They will come out of the apostate religions and false doctrines and also begin to follow in the footsteps of Jesus as the real good news of the gospel is rediscovered by modern-day Christianity. And Brandy went on to say, David and I then walked up a long flight of steps to the concourse level and continued to another set of interior steps, which ascended past the auditorium to an upper deck. I felt like David was to address this very large crowd. We've had other dreams where I was addressing as a type of the Davids, a huge concourses like this, you know, huge auditoriums like this, you know. As we walked up the steps, there were slotted windows, which when looked through would give us a view of the entire seating area, which was filled with people already. Through the openings came loud music and indiscernible voices of thousands, which was very harsh and noisome. Well, I believe this is describing Babylon, which means confusion. Mixed in among Babylon is apostate Christianity. The faction favor confusion, for they keep the church from considering the one unifying factor of truth and love. And although it seemed to me that we were supposed to be there, it seemed that the crowd was not ready or able to be addressed yet. Well, we may be a little further down the road now since this revelation, and we're getting closer. And it seems that the crowd was not ready or able to be addressed yet. The crowd seemed to be distracted with the loud music and laughing and yelling and screaming to each other. It would have been impossible for David to address them successfully. Well, this reminds me of Paul speaking to the multitudes as the factious apostates tried to stir the people up against him so that his words would not be heard and save them. The factious in our day has consistently tried to slander and bring disrepute to those who bring the truth to the people. They have pulled down our site, in particular, and our videos, because their demons hate truth, which plunders their kingdom. So, the one who should be addressing the crowd is the first fruits, which the faction demons seek to distract from. Isaiah 42:1-9 says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry, nor lift up his voice, nor cause it to be heard in the street. A bruised reed will he not break, and a dimly burning wick will he not quench. He will bring forth justice in truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he have set justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." And then verse 6, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will uphold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, and for a light of the Gentiles." Well, we know that Jesus in the man-child in our day is just like Jesus in the man-child in his day, which was the son of David, right? And that he will do that work today. "To open the blind eyes and to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise unto graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Amen. So everything actually that happened with Jesus is happening again in our day, a repeat of history on a larger scale. It was very chaotic inside, and as we reached an upper concourse, there were many people clamoring to get into the auditorium. There are many people waiting to receive this truth that the factious seek so hard to destroy. And when we came to the top, it was revealed a beautiful panorama of the sky overlooking a long garden and water scene, similar to the National Mall in Washington. We never stopped as we walked, and by then I noticed that others from local UVM were with us, including Amber and Greg and Eve, etc. And we began walking down the stairs to reach the ground level again. And as we walked down the steps, it became very obvious that we were in the minority in terms of those leaving this venue as compared to those who were entering. The people entering into the stadium, passing by us in the opposite direction, looked to be very happy and hurried to get into the stadium. Well, we know that there are many hungry souls that are being cheated by the work of the wicked, just as it was in Jesus' day. But the blood of these people is upon them. About halfway down the steps, a woman who used to be a part of UBM but fell into faction and separated from us was coming up the stairs. She had on a small but ornate straw hat, which looked kind of silly, and she passed us by without incident. Well, I'm believing that this woman represents the body of the factious and that they don't talk to your face, they talk behind your back. So thus, when she was facing us, we didn't hear anything. She turned around and came behind us, right? And the reason that they do things behind your back is they can't defend, from a scriptural point of view, anything that they accuse the righteous of or anything that their actions show. Psalm 58:3-8, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which hearkeneth not to the voice of the charmers. In other words, they don't want to hear about righteousness, repentance, their wicked works. They won't listen. Okay. So even the charmers, charming never so wisely, can't help them. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord, and let them melt away as water that runneth apace. When he aimeth his arrows, let them be as though they were cut off. Let them be as a snail which melteth before and passeth away, like the untimely birth of a woman that hath not seen the sun. True. Okay, he said, I thought to turn back and check to see if she had noticed us, and saw that she had turned and was headed towards us. The woman initially had been coming up the stairs, appearing to enter the stadium, but turned back down the stairs behind us and appeared to be following us out. I didn't have a good feeling about her following us, however. I was very frustrated and upset that this woman was following us, as I knew that she was very factious and crafty in her dealings with others. Well, I've had them follow me around Walmart, sneaking around behind the shelves and so on and so forth, and I saw them. They're always spying because they want to find something, you doing something wrong, They're always trying to find something wrong. But it's them that's always the evil and doing the wrong. So I believe the faction are stirred up against us and others, and they are likely engaging in a slander war against us. They can't bring that out into the light very much because we will tell the truth. And we have the evidence. The demons in them are aware that their time is short and they must win for their kingdom as many as they can. Well, we know the Lord has shown us that they are members of the dragon who seek to devour the man, child, and the woman in Revelation chapter 12, 1 through 12. I'll read 7 through 12 here. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So basically he fell from heaven, right? The great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And so it will be. And it will be, by the way, at the beginning of the tribulation period, right? And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. That's right. The dragon body is a body of people. And his body obeys the head. And the head accuses the brethren constantly. Okay. Who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they love not their life even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil is gone down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. True. And when we come to the bottom of the steps, we began to walk alongside the narrow waterways, and I noticed a black snake in a separate waterway to the left, swimming towards the stadium. Separate waterway, not the narrow waterway, which is the true word of God, right? And they're always on the left. So both the factious woman and the snake were coming towards us from opposite directions. And this sounds like an attempted ambush and that they are synonymous, that is, the woman and the snake. I knew that the water was too cold for the snake to survive very long, and then I woke up. And it's true. They will not survive very long. They have a short job to do, and then they will be gone. Gano Moser had this revelation on 10/28/21, and we called it No Bride in the Apostate Church. Amen. In this dream, I was in the basement of the church that I attended with my family when I was a child. I was not taking part in all their busyness of getting ready, just watching. It was very dark and dismal, like on a gloomy, cloudy day. There was very little light and no sunshine or sunshine there. Okay, well, when we are born into the kingdom, we often start out in apostate religious establishments. We in a way go there to find out what is wrong with departure from the truth and what it costs you. And when we start to mature and grow up out of our spiritual childishness, we leave the fleshly basement where there isn't enough light and come out of Babylonish religion as the Bible commands us to do. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. And now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things. They've often called apostate religion a playpen that was made for us to grow up and crawl over the bars, right? Get out. Well, in the next scene, I was outside in the parking lot looking towards the front of the church. Well, the true bride has learned to enter into the continual Sabbath rest for the people of God, represented by the parking lot. In other words, our vessels, you know, our transporting vessels are at rest there. Outside of the self-justifying works of religion. It looked as if someone was expecting a wedding, but not a single person was there. No bride or bridal gown. But there was a bridesmaid dress that was hanging on a hanger on the railing on the right side of the at the bottom of the steps. And there was a banquet of flowers and a scarf or veil hanging from the railing on the left side of the steps. Well, the overall church in general thinks that they are the bride of Christ, but they are not. And they are unwilling to ascend the steps or to take the steps necessary to manifest the bride status in the kingdom. The bride of Christ is in submission to his word, represented by the veil or head covering, which in this case has been tied to the railing. Oops. Well, railing could be a play on words, representing that this teaching of submission is railed against in the Jezebel churches at large. There was a very strong wind blowing the scarf and dress nearly parallel with the ground. They didn't blow away because they seemed attached to the handrails, but the wind was blowing them away from the church. The winds of tribulation, followed by the Holy Spirit revival, will blow many away from the apostate Christianity. Thank God, there is a revival coming. Many are going to have their eyes opened. There were 8 to 10 steps up to the front door, and all of this was at the bottom of the steps. I felt the wind represented the Spirit of the Lord. And this was a harlot church, and not in right standing with the Lord. Because of this, the church was unable to partake of the marriage festivities, and all of these things represent the Lord requires the truth of his word to be preached and a deeper relationship developed with him. Well, this is saying that they couldn't even fill a bridesmaid or virgin's dress. They are so full of the seed of the world that they cannot attain to that. And we pray the elect among them will come out and have their eyes opened to the wonderful truths of God's word. She said, Gaynold asked for a word by faith at random for this dream, and she asked in her concordance. And her finger landed between two scriptures, Proverbs 7:12 and Proverbs 6:25, and both spoke of the harlot church. Proverbs 7:12. We're going to give 9-12 in context. In the twilight, in the evening of the day, in the middle of the night, and in darkness, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and wily of heart. She is clamorous and willful. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is in the streets, and now in the broad places, and lieth in wait at every corner. Yep, there's kind of a church on every corner too, right? Well, Proverbs 6 and 25, the other verse, we'll give the context, 23 through 26. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the ways of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the foreigner's tongue. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress hunteth for the precious life. Yes. I thank the Lord that in His sovereignty He brings out those who are His from the foundation of the world and leads them and guides them in His truth. He has promised to not lose even one who are His. In Him is light, life, and peace forevermore. And Gainhold says, thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. And I say amen too. Okay, Claire Pienaar, 11-17-21, got this, and we called it, The Rebellious Are Left Out in the Cold. I dreamed that I was with my father in a white car. My father represents my heavenly father, and the white car represents sanctification when I'm in communion with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. He had told myself and my stepmom, Ruth, that we needed to go into the house that he pulled up in front of and get everything out that belongeth to us as He had directed us. So he pulled up in front of the house, and he said, get all your stuff and get out. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity? Or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. Ruth was trying to enter and leave the house too quickly. My stepmom represents the name Ruth, meaning those who commiserate with those who are in misery. Do you think you can go back in there and save them? Jeremiah says, we would have saved Babylon, but she would not be saved. Let us flee every man to his own land. So we're not called to stay in the apostate church. When we come out of it, we're too close to it. We have to get far enough away that we can go in and go out and find pasture, you see. Most people, when they go back, they get trapped. They get trapped right back in there. We're not called to stay in the apostate church to commiserate with their misery, but to come out from among them. We have to grow up. We have to get the board out of our eyes so we can see clearly to get the mote out of our brother's eye. And Claire said, I represent the bride who listens attentively to the voice of the Father and does what He requires. Amen. I went behind her and started packing up the things I knew my dad wanted. A few things stood out to me. The first was a large purple shampoo bottle. Well, purple is a sign of royalty. Shampoo is to clean up our hair, which is a sign of submission to the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So that we may be his royal children, the opposite of the rebellious man that we're getting ready to talk about here. The second thing that stood out to me was that I was piling coverings of many kinds into the car. These included shawls, blankets, scarves, and so forth. Well, this immediately came to me as preparing for winter, which is just ahead, which Jesus called tribulation, right? And the apostate church is not preparing for tribulation. They think they're all going to fly away just as they are. Okay, but we know that to be a lie. The last thing that stood out to me was that I threw out all of the clothes with holes that were in the house. And then I brought all the long dresses I could carry for my daughters. Well, when flesh is seen through our clothes, we are in outward sin. Long dresses covers all flesh in our walk, and we're to be covered in the blood. Amen? So, you know, we talk about spiders, and spiders make a web, but the web does not cover the person. It's their works, just like our clothes represent our works. But if it doesn't cover the person and the flesh is seen, then you're not getting sanctified, right? My stepmom did not fare well in this exercise. She was very forgetful, undecided, and kept on walking into a room and not knowing why she was there. So there are some people that really aren't coming out, right? She sees no purpose in this preparation and separation, right? She also kept forgetting to pack toiletries, and each time I went into the bathroom, I had to remind her that we need that stuff and that my dad wants that stuff. Well, we know that the bride is like Esther, who took only what was pleasing to the king. Yes. And she said, I think that this represents the languishing power of the apostate church. She's aging, and it shows. And Rion, her husband, said her forgetfulness represents the fact that a large portion of the apostate church has forgotten the tools required to be cleaned, like the toiletries, right? Spiritually. And deliverance, which is authority to cast out demons. And they don't do that either, right? As Jesus said in Luke 10 and 19, Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Well, the church can't leave behind deliverance because there is no way to fix people with drugs. And that's generally what they try to do. I was kind of patient, but my father was growing slightly impatient with her. Well, he desires that we come out from among them so that we are not partakers of their evil works. The house then turned into a medium-sized grocery store. Well, apostate Christianity is into buying and selling. They are paying for that which is not the truth. And they are selling their birthright like Esau did. There were long plastic sheets instead of doors separating the rooms of the house, and these were all connected to a large warehouse or cold storage area at the back of the house. They are preserving the flesh instead of the spirit. You know, there are some times that we get dreams, and they might be for a specific person who the Lord shows us represents also a larger scenario, and therefore sometimes we get the good out of a dream or revelation for the specific person or persons and then use it for the larger scenario. The Lord has shown us to do this. So she said, I saw an angry red-faced man going into the various rooms, except that these rooms had become shopping aisles, and he was pacing up and down the aisles. He was so mad, he had a black golf shirt on and was practically jogging out of anger. Well, the factious are filled with anger and hatred, which they have been turned over to in what Romans chapter 1 called a reprobate mind. I could not see what the problem was. I touched him gently and said, I feel I need to tell you to stop and rest. This is too dangerous for you to have so much anger. It is because anger is unforgiveness, and unforgiveness in us causes us to be unforgiven by our Father. That's what Jesus said. And when that happens, according to Matthew 18, you get turned over to the tormentors. Okay? And our Father says that we must enter into the rest, she said. He looked at me blankly and then went out into the cold storage area. Out there preserving the flesh, right? And then I woke up. Well, the factious are angry because they know that we are against their sin, which dreams have shown are infecting us and holding us back from being prepared as a bride to receive our Lord. Spots and blemishes can be in a corporate body just like they're in individuals, and these are holding us back from being ready for our Lord. Ecclesiastes 7 and 9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And Proverbs 15 and 5 says, a fool despiseth his father's correction, but he that regardeth reproof getteth prudence. Amen. Okay. Well, she went on to say, he will be left out in the cold. That's where he went, right? When the bride comes in to the rest from their works of the flesh during the tribulation. Matthew 7 and 23 says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The true sons of God will enter the sabbatismos, the continual rest, which is actually the word in Hebrews 4 and 9. It says, there remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest. That's a different word for Sabbath than elsewhere. And it means a sabbatismos, a continual rest. It's not a day anymore. We have to cease from our works every day now for the people of God. And Romans 8 and 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random for this portion of the dream and received Hebrews 2 and 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard? This is every day we seek out our salvation with fear and trembling, right? Every day. Some people think you step over a line and that's it, but it's not so. Okay, this is Chris Garber's revelation, very good revelation. The fire of God is coming to reveal everything, he says. 3, 5, and 22, he got this. I rarely dream, but last night I had a dream that woke me up, and I did not want to go back to sleep. The only way I can describe it is that every cell in my body was scared. Well, let me say that we will see the fire is a fearful thing to the flesh. Right. I dreamed that I was in this outside area that I did not recognize with a group of people that I thought I knew, but wasn't quite sure. I knew in the dream that it was present day 2022. Well, we know that many times we think we know people, but oftentimes they are putting their best face forward, and that's because of a fear of man or rejection or spirits of deception that don't want to be exposed for fear of losing their house, right? And also, 2022 seems to be the year of revealing not only the hidden things in the church, but also in the deep state. Wow, and a lot of this is flooding out now. This group and myself were listening to a news report about a fire that was coming our way. The fire was approaching very fast, and it was burning everything, including the air. The fire was so very hot that it was evident that the fire was not from any man. At once I was aware that the fire was from God, and the fire was revealing everything. The fire was revealing the sins and the works of everyone. Personal, private, everything that the people had done was being revealed. Reminds us of 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. According to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let each man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if any man buildeth on the foundation gold and silver and costly stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, which doesn't hold up good in fires, right? Each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide, in other words, it's eternal, right, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is through fire. Of course, the wood, hay, and stubble needs to be burned up to leave nothing but the gold and silver and the precious stones and so on and so forth. I had a knowing that the only way to survive the fire was to confess everything to the Lord, including thoughts and actions. I knew that God was burning up and removing everyone and everything of flesh with the fire. 1 John 1:5-10 says, "And this is the message which you have heard from him and announce unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." In other words, there's no faction, right? "And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sin." Look at the condition here. If. "And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Well, in other words, repenting and confessing sins put them under the blood and brings cleansing. And this is a must to escape the judgment of the fire that is coming. "I awoke as the fire came onto me, and with an intense sensation of heat, I had an intense sensation of fear, knowing that God knows everything about us. There is nothing that we can hide from him." Amos 9:8-10 says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom. I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, save that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord. For lo, I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all the nations, like as a grain is sifted in the sieve. Yet shall not the least kernel fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword." In other words, you either lose your unrighteousness or you die, right? "Who say the evil shall not overtake nor meet us." Yes, that's what they say. And Hebrews 12:29 says, "For God is a consuming fire." And the first scripture that I read this morning, Romans 1:24-32, he says, "Wherefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile passions, for their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves a recompense of their error which was due. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them." Wow, and we know these people. Listen, folks, this confession of sin is a very important thing for the times to come. Many are going to escape vast judgments because of this. So do it. Call upon the Lord and get prepared to escape. In Jesus' name, God bless you and keep you. We'll do this again very soon. Good night.